today on Making Sense with Rob Case. What do you think of when you hear the word soul? No doubt you may think of the soul as nothing more than the translucent part of you that separates from your body at death, but there is much more to it than that. In fact, the soul and how it's designed determines how you think, act, feel, and thrive in the world around you. In this edition of Making Sense with Rob Case, we are going to explore how this is the case, how God fits into all of this, and how easy it can be to get lost when we lose sight of these things. So join us, won't you, as we explore the soul, its burdens, and the path to restoration on this edition of Making Sense with Rob Case. Hello and welcome to Making Sense with Rob Case. I am your host, Rob Case. The soul is the operating control center of you. And if you ever came to understand the generating components behind how you think, act, feel, and what you aspire to achieve and become in your life, so much more about you will become more definitive in terms of who you are, why you make the choices you make, where you should be, and what you aspire to become in the future. In fact, what's interesting about studying the soul is that you are also studying the systematic roots of your psychological makeup as your aspirations and interests, how you think, what you choose to believe, how you make your final decisions, and what your priorities are all based on preferences determined by what is and how your soul responds to it. What's also interesting when you examine the subject of the soul is that the word psyche, from which the word psychology is derived from, is Greek for the word soul. In that, the study of psychology, the way it was originally defined, according to Noah Webster, is a discourse or treatise on the human soul, or the doctrine of the nature and properties of the soul. That means that beneath how you think, act, and feel is an established root system that needs to be attended to, nurtured, and maintained in an orderly and constructive fashion. So what lies beneath how we think, act, and feel? Well, first of all, it is important to realize that there is, in fact, a root system within you, me, and everyone else around us in which all things that we take in and consider gravitate towards. Losing sight of this fundamental truth can allow us to be tossed around in the darkness, as we will soon explain to you a little bit later in the program. In that, it is important to recognize our place in the grand scheme of things, in that God created us and instilled within us certain traits that both connect us to Him and reflect select parts of Him, His laws, order, and nature in our very being. And so, to put it in a nutshell, God created man to believe, hope for, depend, and trust in Him, something, or someone. God, who loves us, also created us to love Him. And since He saw that everything He created was very good, in other words, complete and whole, He wrote within our hearts a moral code that would work to preserve, protect, and defend our very being from error, dissension, conflicts, hurt, and destruction. And while some of you may have trouble taking these concepts to heart, for one reason or another, no one can deny that what we long to be, yearn for, and seek to become aid our behavior, ambitions, and sense of purpose and mission in our lives. And so, what exactly do we yearn to be? Well, to find the answer to this question, you would have to hold your thoughts captive. And doing that, you would come up with something like this. We all long to belong, be recognized, supported, loved, honored, valued, cherished, and even united in soul with someone who in turn nurtures these attributes. We also long for happiness, wholeness, security in independence, and physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. We yearn for, or seek, truth, wisdom, knowledge, structure, order, stability, contentment, happiness, joy, pleasure, companionship, respect, freedom to express ourselves and make our own choices, acknowledgement, appreciation, purpose, and fruitfulness, in that we seek to be productive. We set out to fulfill a set of goals and accomplish them. From our imagination, we express creativity, which in turn initiates productivity. And from what we have been able to accomplish in our lives, we seek to have it serve as a testament to what we have yearned for and what we have sought out and strive to accomplish as individuals. And so where do we get all of these attributes from and why? Well, in the first line of Genesis 1:26, it states, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And in Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Moreover, we are told that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that our soul knows it very well. Psalm 139:14. So what we have here is us as being created as an image of God himself, made fearfully and wonderfully, carrying certain characteristics that God himself has. And what's also interesting is that God declares his ownership of the soul. As is stated in the last line of Colossians 1:16, all things were created by him and for him. And in Ezekiel 18:4, God tells the prophet, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins will die." And so, in the midst of our souls longing to be aided and nurtured in a constructive fashion, they also yearn for solid and foundational enforcements and seek to become an instrument of change through the accomplishments we set to initiate within them. We are told that all of our souls belong to God due to the fact that He created us for Him. Next up, we are going to examine the three primary components which make up the soul, how the body and mind factor into its nature, and what it pursues when we return. In order to survive, thrive, and know your surroundings, one must acquire a sense of direction, order, and set of principles to follow. At the Making Sense message boards, we not only do all of those things, but we make it interesting. Visit makingsense.proboards.com to see what the deal is. And don't forget to listen to Making Sense with Rob Case right here on this channel. Write it down and make it a priority. It's the dawn of a new era, and we want you to be making sense. Visit makingsense.proboards.com today. We now return to Making Sense with Rob Case. Now, before the break, we briefly established what the soul is and examined some of what its attributes consist of. Now, by doing this, we can acquaint ourselves with many of the inner dynamics that are always working at the root of our being so that we can better understand how we function and realize what dynamic is at work when we experience some sort of joy or moment or fulfillment or pain or emptiness within the soul. Now, the soul is made up of three primary components, which are the emotions, the mind, and the will. Each component works in accordance with the formation of your identity, the development of your personality, and how you adapt to and influence the environment around you. So let's take a few minutes to examine these components from a more general standpoint within the context of the soul and what we talked about before the break. First, let's look at the emotions. Emotions are practically expressions from the soul, and as such, they help move our being into action and/or reaction. That said, we are responsive creatures in that our minds and souls are moved by underlying passions and feelings that cause us to feel good or bad. Let's take a brief look at some of the most common emotions that we can all immediately relate to. In this case, I will name five: grief, joy, anger, fear, and love. What's interesting about these emotions is that they always seem to be linked with what we long to be, as we described earlier. So let's review once again what we long to be and what we long for. So we mentioned that we long to belong, be recognized, supported, loved, honored, valued, cherished, and even united in soul with someone who in turn nurtures these attributes and strengthens our being as a person. We also long for happiness, wholeness, security and independence, and physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And so when we feel emotions such as joy and love, we could say, within this context, that our souls are stimulated and moved in a positive and fulfilling way. In other words, there is a feeling of satisfaction when there is so much as a hope that these longings are on the verge of being fulfilled. But also, too, emotions, depending on the circumstances, can also last for a certain period of time. Sometimes, for example, if there's a rumor of, like, let's say you're going to be promoted at your job, and you will feel a positive feeling, especially if you wanted it, and then at that particular point, that feeling is going to aid the fact that you have been recognized and that you are valued and cherished. And then so therefore, your body will initiate a certain stimuli, a certain response to it in a very positive way, and charge you and excite you in such a euphoric and motivating spirit. And from that, it'll unleash many endorphins from a biological standpoint. Now, what about the other emotions? Well, we'll discuss that in just a moment. Second, we're going to look a little bit at the mind. Now, the mind is the part of us that holds memory, reasons, takes in information to help us make judgments, and tries to make sense of things that happen to and around us to help us understand things, matters, and behaviors. Our minds also influence us to not only absorb what we have taken in through life's experiences, trials and errors, facts and so forth, but also on the output level, objectively considers these things in order to conceive ideas, create, generate, and make a difference in the world around us. Thirdly, we are going to look a little bit at the will. Now, what is the will? Well, the will is really the driving force that enables you to act on or towards something. What you process through the mind and feel through the emotions will largely influence your will. What enables your will in this context will be governed by reason and or feeling. Another truth to consider about your will is that it is your action towards bringing to reality an ideal or potential outcome that you are striving to accomplish. And while there are small components at work in regards to what we yearn to be, I believe that what we seek to accomplish in our lives grants us ample opportunity to fulfill our purpose and mission in life. Fourthly, we are going to talk a little bit about the body, since it is the tangible, material part of us that requires responsible stewardship and that it needs maintenance, preservation, and revitalization. Now, we are all souls embodied in earthly material elements. As Genesis 2:7 states, God formed man of the dust of the ground. That said, our bodies are created out of earthly elements. And isn't it interesting that by the frequent intake of earthly elements, our bodies are maintained? Now, our bodies were created with certain sensual appetites, urges and impulses, sensations and instincts. When they are stimulated and or gratified in a pleasurable sense, they have the ability to largely affect the mind as the mind adapts to and tries to accommodate these things. Okay. So we've established here the primary forces that drive our being. So how does a person get lost in darkness? And how does our soul become affected when these things we just discussed get turned upside down? We will answer these questions and more when we return. We now return to Making Sense with Rob Cates. Now, before the break, we briefly defined the soul, explained a bit about what it consists of, and talked a little bit about how the body and its carnal needs influence it. But what happens when all these things get turned upside down and thus become corrupted? I think the quickest way to sum it all up is to simply observe the world around us, as well as take notice of what we will soon discuss in our daily encounters, one way or another, with human nature, its primary cares and concerns, its preferences, and how high of a priority one makes of those things. From these standpoints alone, we can observe many surface aspects of living in a fallen world. I think that it would be fitting to conclude, after all is said and done and all of the observations are factored in, that chaos, confusion, and death are consequentially the most common outcomes, as we will examine. But before we delve into the details any further, we have to come to grips with the fact that we do indeed live in a fallen and imperfect world in which we were born into and are raised to more or less adapt to. And with the assistance from the influence of error, perpetuated by the culture and environment around us, the focus of our will in the midst of this, and wrong choices we make as a human race, human history has vastly degraded from the level of perfection God set for it and us when He created us, and as such, ignorance, error, chaos, and confusion run high along with the additional weight of sin, the susceptibility of developing a hardened heart, and having at one's disposal the option of utilizing evil means to get one's way and or desired outcome by means of controlling every aspect to reach that outcome. Now, sin is, by the act of the will, a direct violation against a direct order or design purpose set by God. That said, everything that God created, which we discussed earlier, was very good in that it was complete, whole, and thus perfect by design. And if we keep that into perspective, along with the fact that we were created by Him and for Him, and contrast it by how we think of ourselves and the world around us in lieu of this, and what our cares, concerns, and priorities are in our lives, then there will be a huge contrast between what we think and what God says that will be definitive and deep. And while our souls have been designed to have fellowship with God, we need to realize that our fellowship was cut off due to our will to deliberately make choices which go against His predetermined design and purpose. Consequentially, this cutoff led us over to a contrived system built on lies, ignorance, numerous erroneous belief systems, and concepts that are not true but perceived to be. And when we factor in the fact that our process of learning from birth to this particular moment in time consisted of foundations and enforcements laid by those who raised us in the midst of our development, observations of our surroundings, influences from family, friends, and acquaintances, as well as influences via personal experience, the education system, the media, and the culture. These influences have ingrained themselves into our psyches, and thus what we yearn for and what we long to be are likelier to be affected and misdirected as error, the agenda-driven nature of our hearts from time to time, along with our susceptibility to fall into temptation through our weaknesses, cause us to miss out on so many of the benefits God has in store for us. Now, in living in and by the common patterns and attitudes of this world, we establish our mindsets, routines, habits, and so forth on a set of standards that in turn has the influence to convince us that our livelihood and survival instincts rest on how well we are able to control or manage our own lives and situations independent from God, and thus perceive what we are told about Him as unrealistic and foolish. That said, when the heart is hardened to matters of faith and concepts like having joy in the Lord, a person becomes more likely to disregard it in contempt, while continuing to absorb error, make wrong choices, and pursue every means he or she deems necessary in one's eyes to feel more confident to be in control. And while these dynamics are currently in motion simultaneously, our sets of standards gravitate more and more towards protecting our own interests as we deem fit and placing our own pleasures and vices as a more dominant factor in our lives. And while all of these dynamics are in motion, we are likelier to become more confident in depending on our own strength and intellect, yet becoming less discerning, less concerned about doing what is right, and spending a bulk majority of our time designating our own desired outcomes rather than so much as consider what God has designated for us. And so, as we establish our own system for our lives, yet still pursuing from a subconscious state of mind what the soul yearns for and what it longs to be, we are also trying our best to be independent, successful, and prosperous, trying and or doing anything and everything in our power to secure the enforcements we put into place. With that said, if God is not at all an important factor in our lives, then we can draw to a conclusion that we are left primarily with our own understanding of how things are, and based on how we perceive things to be, we try to control our circumstances and situations and act to preserve and protect our own self-interests based on how strong-willed and forceful we can be. And yet, unfortunately, all too often, these dynamics work at the forefront in our approach on life. And when under the influence of perhaps fear, anxiety, or a threat of losing everything that our independence relies on, the essence of our fallen nature that is at work within ourselves becomes more definitive as we are completely removed, much less unaware from what God had originally designated for us. When we return to Making Sense with Rob Case, we are going to give you a sneak preview of our next show, in which we will continue our study of the soul, its burdens, and the path to restoration. We'll be right back. In order to survive, thrive, and know your surroundings, one must acquire a sense of direction, order, and set of principles to follow. At the Making Sense message boards, we not only do all of those things, but we make it interesting. Visit makingsense.proboards.com to see what the deal is. And don't forget to listen to Making Sense with Rob Case right here on this channel. Write it down and make it a priority. It's the dawn of a new era, and we want you to be making sense. Visit makingsense.proboards.com today. Next time on Making Sense with Rob Case, we will look at a few of the most common examples of how many of these fallen attributes that we discussed today destroy the body and warp the emotions, mind, and will. And while the world continues to grow darker in every aspect, its adverse effects demand significant change to the mind, the will, and emotions, and thirsts for restoration and unshakable truth. Find out how on the next edition of Making Sense with Rob Case. You have been listening to Making Sense with Rob Case. This edition of Making Sense with Rob Case was produced by Rob Case, co-produced by Tom Pasden. Making Sense with Rob Case is a product of Robert W. Case Productions. Copyright 2014. Thank you, and good night.